everybody. Welcome to another episode of Comic Source Podcast. I'm Jace.
I'm Jaden.
I'm Manny.
And this is just a quick comic talk episode. Probably going to be on the short side compared to most of the episodes we do. But before we get into the meat of the episode, I just want to throw out a thanks to all our listeners out there. It's pretty clear from our recent numbers as far as downloads and people visiting the site that the Comic Source is growing, which is what we wanted. Well, you know, we've been requesting that people follow us on social media, different places, and share with your fellow comic fans our podcast and kind of get our name out there. So it's been really cool to see the growth. March was actually we had the most downloads that we've ever had in a month. And I think a part of that was due to releasing the Rebirth interviews that I did at WonderCon. But then within the first, I want to say 5 days of April, we passed what we did for March. You know, we set a record in March for the month. And then just within the first 5 days of April, we broke that record. So that was like really, really cool to see. So again, you know, continue to support us. Tell your friends about us. You know, follow us on social media. Tell your friends to follow us on social media. Twitter.com/TheComicSource. You can do a search for us on Facebook and Instagram. Our website, thecomicsourceblog.com, has all our content on there. So, again, just want to thank everybody. It's really cool that to see what we're doing is, like, making an impact and people are enjoying it. So, and don't be afraid to reach out to us. Tell us what you like and what you don't like about what we're doing. So, like I said, it's really awesome, and we want to thank everybody for all your support.
We're sitting on top of the story of the century here.
Just a couple quick comic news items. I don't know if either one of you guys saw the art, you know, and this was announced a while ago that Adam Hughes, that Adam Hughes, is going to be doing the relaunch of Betty and Veronica for Archie Comics. We saw last summer, toward the end of the summer, Archie restarted with issue number one. The final issue of previously was issue 666. I don't know why. I would have thought they would have wanted to go one more number. It's interesting they chose that to end on, but or one less, I guess they could have done. But anyway, it was rebooted with Mark Waid as the writer and Fiona Staples doing the art. It was interesting. You know, I was never a huge Archie fan growing up. I did read some Archie Digest like way back in the day when I was a kid. I think like my aunt or somebody gave me a big stack of them, and they were enjoyable, you know, kind of lighthearted fun. And that was pretty much the only exposure to Archie comics that I really had. I read, I think, the first two or three issues of this, and, you know, it was kind of enjoyable. Not really my thing, but, you know, it was okay. It definitely felt like it was a more modern take on the character, you know, and I think that was the whole point of having Mark Waid kind of update him. So it was interesting, like I said. But all along it was announced, you know, it was planned that it wasn't just an update of Archie, but there would be an update on Betty and Veronica. And Adam Hughes was attached to it real early on. And there was also a Jughead update as well, which Chip Zdarsky is writing that book. But it's been a long time coming. You know, like I said, it was announced, you know, last year, probably at the same time as the Archie, maybe a little bit after. So midsummer, let's say. I have a feeling the reason it's taken so long for them to actually announce that it's coming out is probably because they wanted Adam Hughes to get some issues done, you know, because his stuff, and it's part of the reason why he does covers mostly, is, again, you know, his stuff's so detailed, it's so, I mean, it's really art, you know, and so it takes a long time. And so I have a feeling that's why it's been this long in coming. Now, I know Mark Waid, I mean, it wasn't like they were going to do this indefinitely, this book. I think him and Fiona Staples did like the first six issues, and I'm not sure who's taken over now because, like I said, I stopped reading it. I haven't really been paying that much attention, to be honest with you. So there's no way that Adam Hughes can do a monthly book, you know, being the fact that he paints all this stuff or whatever. So it might be that he's taken all this time to do the first four issues or six issues or whatever it is. And I guess, I mean, I didn't see too much of the reaction online to this announcement. But I did see that his wife posted on Facebook about how she hates how social media, you know, something will be announced and it gets ripped apart before anybody even sees it, you know, because obviously this still has a few more months before it's going to come out. and people are already complaining about it or whatever. You know, I just don't get it. I mean, Adam Hughes is a great artist. I don't know what you'd have to complain about in the first place. But even if you don't necessarily think he's the right fit for the book, I mean, at least take the time to look at it first. You know, wait till it comes out before you start complaining. So, I mean, I love Adam Hughes' art. I think it's great. So, and the images I've seen so far have looked pretty cool. I'll probably pick up the first issue just to see, you know, what his take is going to be. Again, it's not really my cup of tea, but I will check it out. And who knows, it might surprise me. It might be something I want to continue to pick up on a monthly basis just based on the art. I don't know. I guess we'll see. Did you guys see any of the images for it?
Yeah, I think I saw some a little while back. Just looking at this right here, I mean, it seems like the exact book that Adam Hughes should do art on, I think. I think that his style would fit this book very well.
Yeah, I mean, the one complaint I do hear about Adam Hughes from time to time is that, like, he objectifies women, you know, cheesecake or whatever. Man, if you ever met the guy, you know that he has, you know, tremendous respect for women artists, women in the industry. That's first of all. Second of all, I think he draws women, and they look beautiful, and I don't think they're, like, exaggerated or, you know, sexually objectified or anything. I think he does a great job of making them look, you know, realistic for the most part. I mean, these are comic book characters, so, you know, there's going to be a little bit of exaggeration there. But, you know, I don't see it. I know some people complain about it, but I'm sorry, I don't see it. I love the way he draws women.
No, I agree with you. He's a great artist. I mean, you can say that about, what, three-quarters or almost all artists in the comic book industry, because, I mean, that's just how, like you said, comic book characters are drawn. But, yeah, you got to pick up the book first. Some of the images look really good. Not my, like, same thing, not my type of book, but, I mean, the artwork is there. Before you start complaining about it, take the time, take a look.
Yep. Next item of news, this was announced at the Emerald City Comic Con. There's going to be a new DC Challenge book focusing on Commandy, who is a Jack Kirby creation, kind of a boy at the end of the world kind of thing, was how it was always portrayed, or kind of what, like post-apocalyptic, that's the word I'm searching for. So this new one, let me say the old DC Challenge was a series of 12 issues, 85, 86, and it had 12 teams of creators, and they told a single story. So it was like two creators worked on issue one, and they did issue one, and then they handed the book off, and then the next two creators picked up where they left off, and it went through and told the whole story. I remember seeing it on the racks at the time when I was a kid, but I did not pick it up. So again, it's kind of that same thing, where, you know, two creators are teamed up, they're going to tell issue one, and they're handing it off, you know, so it's kind of like a relay, in that you don't really have any input on what comes before you or what comes after. You just try to tell, you know, a good story and your little part of it. So they're random pairings, supposedly, which I have a feeling they're not totally random, because Jimmy and Amanda managed to end up together. But the creators on it are, I mean, I'm not the biggest Commandy fan. That being said, I'll probably check this out just because of, I mean, these creators are just awesome. So we have Dan Abnett and Dale Eaglesham, Peter Tomasi and Neil Adams, Amanda Connor and Jimmy Palmiotti, James Tynan and Carlos DeAnda, Bill Willingham and Yvonne Reese, Steve Orlando and Philip Tan, Marguerite Bennett and Dan Jurgens, Keith Giffen and Steve Rude, Tom King and Kevin Eastman, Greg Pak and Joe Prado, Rob Williams and Walter Simonson, Gail Simone and Ryan Sook, and Len Wein, and Jose Luis Garcia Lopez. So that's actually 13 teams, so it's supposed to be 12-issue books, so I'm not sure, maybe one's going to be double-sized. But, I mean, those are some awesome, awesome names. So even though I've never been the biggest fan of Commandy, I'm probably going to pick this up just based on the strength of those creators. I mean, some really awesome writers, you know, artists like Amanda Connor, Neil Adams, Yvonne Reese, Joe Prado, Walter Simonson, Ryan Sook, Jose Luis Garcia Lopez. I mean, those guys are just awesome. So, pretty cool. There's a link in the show notes. You can go and get more information. And I may have to go back and see if I can pick up those old DC Challenge books from 85, 86 just to check them out, since I never read them back in the day. Kind of have my interest peaked now. Another bit of news that came out of Emerald City Comic Con from DC was they're launching a new Vertigo imprint with Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance, formerly of My Chemical Romance, I guess. Now, he grew up as a comic fan, and he's got like over a million followers on Twitter. So this could be a real win for DC. He was supposed to write Doom Patrol like back in the day, and he freely admits that he kind of dropped the ball on it. He was busy with his band and just it wasn't a priority for him, and so he wasn't willing to put in the time to, you know, to put out a monthly book, and DC, you know, kind of put the kibosh on it and said, well, you know, we don't want to sign you to do this and then have you, you know, have it come out sporadically or what have you. But he has won an award for comic writing before. He did a book called Umbrella Academy, which was extremely well received. I'm not that familiar with it. I think it has to do with kids attending like a private school, kind of supernatural kind of feel. So Vertigo imprint seems like the way to go for this. The imprint's going to be called Young Animal, and there was 4 books announced. So he's doing a new Doom Patrol. He's also working on a Shade title. And then there's a couple other creators involved as well. There's one that's set in Gotham City. And so he's going to kind of oversee, you know, he's going to be actively involved in Doom Patrol and Shade, I believe, but he's going to kind of oversee all 4 of them. So, you know, DC, they tried the kind of a relaunch with their Vertigo titles last summer. They announced at San Diego like 13 new titles. And some of those titles have had some critical acclaim, but they haven't really found any commercial success. I don't know. Ever since Karen Berger left Vertigo, it just hasn't seems to have kind of lost its cachet. Seems like most creators who would have done stuff at Vertigo now, they just go and take their stuff to Image. It's just easier that way. You know, Image has that name and that reputation for being a place where creators can take their properties and have them, you know, distributed and have advertising mechanisms in place and all that kind of thing. So I guess we'll see if this partnership with Gerard Way helps in any way, no pun intended, in any way to help revitalize the Vertigo imprint. And also some DC news. Bleeding Cool took a look at all the DC Rebirth solicitations. I think I mentioned this on a previous episode. DC wasn't in the previews catalog for June. They put out their own DC previews, and you can get a lot more detail. I have a feeling that, I mean, well, they did it for a couple reasons. I mean, it's a nice looking catalog. It's got a foreword by Jeff Johns. It talks about Rebirth, a couple articles that talk about Rebirth, some really cool art. And when you go through and read the solicitations, you get a lot more detail on what exactly each of the Rebirth titles is going to involve. Like, we know, for example, like in the Superwoman solicitation, it specifically says that it's Lois Lane. We don't know which Lois Lane it is, but specifically we know it's Lois Lane. So things like that. And also because the solicitations came out a little later than normally would. So the solicitations came out, but actually just today, as we're recording this, April 13th, the previews, DC previews, is available at your local comic shop for free. So if you'd like to pick that up, I certainly would recommend it. If not, like I said, you can go to Bleeding Cool. There's a link in the show notes. And basically what Rich and the guys over at Bleeding Cool did was they read all the solicitations in detail, and they kind of put up little short articles on a lot of the things that we found out and discovered. We know there's a new villain in Batman. A new antagonist for Batman called Gotham that's showing up. Again, we know Lois Lane is Wonder Woman. And we learned a lot of other things. I'm not going to go through all of them here. But if you want to learn more, maybe give you an idea of what DC Rebirth titles you want to check out, just go to the link in show notes or head over to Bleeding Cool and check it out. There's a lot of good information there. Did you guys happen to check out any of the solicitations?
No. No,
I didn't really get the chance.
Yeah, I mean, it just came out today, so.
I'm pretty much set with the ones I'm going to get anyway, so I'm not sure how much, that previous book's going to change my mind.
Yeah, you know, it did say, one other thing I'll mention about the previous book, it did specifically say, do not read the DC Flash Rebirth issue until you've read the DC Rebirth 80-page giant. So again, has me thinking that Wally West is going to, you know, he could be the Hand. He could be what's going on. I've also heard some other rumors. I've heard Pandora, and I've also heard it could be some sort of Monitor, one version of or another of Monitor. So I'm sticking with my guns, though, thinking it's Wally West, but I guess we'll see. Anyway.
I would think that for all the titles, you would need to, the first thing you would want to read is the 80-page special.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, especially when it's 80 pages for $2.99. And if you get your comics from DCB service, like I do, they have a bundle, 60% off all the titles. And I think the DC Rebirth special is, you know what, let me look it up right now because I don't want to misquote, but I think they're having some, like, a really, really crazy discount deal for that 80-page giant. Let me make sure I'm right before I say anything.
I had seen that some shops are even giving it away as long as you order all of the Rebirth titles.
Really?
And then also, some of them are giving it away if you show up for the midnight release.
That's true. It is being released at midnight, and I saw Marvel gave permission for their stuff to be released at midnight that day as well, which I found to be interesting. I can find it here.
Might as well.
Yep, I'm right. It's 75% off at DCB service. So it's an 80-page giant for 74 cents.
Sounds classic.
74 cents for 80 pages of comic. I mean, that's awesome. And then, of course, they have their bundles. The entire, like I said, Rebirth bundle, 60% off. It's only $22.61 for all the Rebirth titles that are coming out in May, June. So go check that out if you are so inclined.
Mr. McGee, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
All right, let's talk some TV news. So a couple items I saw today that I found interesting. So the Sci-Fi Channel is going to be broadcasting from San Diego Comic-Con this year. I think they're going to call it, like, Sci-Fi Live from Comic-Con or something. So they're going to be doing some announcements, covering panel announcements. They're going to be doing some celebrity interviews, covering some things in Hall H. So it should be interesting. Maybe I'll see if I can get on the Sci-Fi Channel. They said their goal really is to make people feel like they're there and kind of get a feel for what Comic-Con's like. And also in sort of a related item, so CCHQ stands for Comic-Con Headquarters. It's a video-on-demand channel, I guess you'd say, that Comic-Con is launching. And it's actually going to be year-round. It's supposed to launch with beta on a Free Comic Book Day. And they're going to show a lot of coverage of Comic-Con, both the current year and past years. And I have a feeling they want to add programming as it goes along and kind of grow this channel. They announced today that they're going to be streaming the Hall H presentations. But it's going to be on a case-by-case basis based on what the studios and the particular presenters want to show. It won't be a live stream, because they do want to still make it special for the people that are, you know, camping out in line and waiting all that time. And, you know, they feel like they should be rewarded, be the first to see it, whatever. But, and again, not everything's going to be released. The studios have marketing people and marketing plans in place. And some things are going to be released just to the Comic-Con audience. Some things, you know, get released on the internet. So, but there are going to, I'm sure there will be some Hall H presentations that you'll be able to see in their entirety. So For those that don't get a chance to go to San Diego Comic-Con, between Sci-Fi and the CCHQ, it's going to be the next best thing to being there. I kind of think there's probably no replacement for being there. Certainly don't get the same kind of feel, but you can get some good information, and I get, you know, it's better than nothing, I guess, right?
Yeah.
The next bit of news, Luke Cage. This is according to Mike Coulter, who plays Luke Cage in the Marvel Netflix shows. He says Luke Cage will be the Wire of Marvel TV, and the show will also showcase the character's moral ambiguity. So a couple different articles on comic book resources about this, and when he says that Luke Cage, the show, will be quote-unquote the Wire of the Marvel Universe, or Marvel Television, Netflix Television Universe, he's basically saying that they're going to get kind of deep, and they're going to, you know, cover a lot of different issues. And as far as the moral ambiguity, you know, I guess maybe because Luke Cage has been around so long in the comics, we know he's a hero, whereas a lot of people aren't familiar. You know, he's not one of the more well-known heroes, and he does have, you know, some things in his past where he didn't make the best decisions or whatever. So I think they're going to kind of play that up. So I haven't watched any of the Marvel Netflix shows, so how do you feel about this, Manny?
Well, I don't really know anything about the character. So, you know, when they talk about his moral ambiguity, I have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah, but you saw him in Jessica Jones, right?
Well, yeah, I saw him there, but it was very limited. So I really don't know what to really make of the character yet. Kind of like Jessica Jones, I went in watching the show just based on, you know, good reviews and just, you know, following the success of Daredevil. And that's kind of how I'm going into Luke Cage, just based on how good the other series have been. And maybe I'll get to know the character a little bit better.
What about you, Jade? Do you have any thoughts?
I really liked Mike Coulter and Jessica Jones. He was only in a few episodes, but of what I saw of him, I think he's going to be really good, Luke Cage. I don't really know much about the character, but I have a feeling I'm going to like this show.
Yeah, he says, Coulter calls Cage a fugitive tale about a wrongly convicted man stumbles into the life of a superhero. He said, anybody who I meet is always good. That worries me. He doesn't trust somebody who, you know, comes across as always good. Because you can't be good all the time. It's common sense. So, I guess he's just trying to play him as more kind of a, you know, fully realized three-dimensional character rather than just some, you know, black and white comic book character, I guess you'd say. So, I mean, I like what he has to say. Again, you know, I haven't watched any of the Netflix shows. It's on my list, things to do someday. Maybe I'll get there. Another bit of TV news. So Finn Jones, for those who aren't aware, he was cast as Iron Fist, Danny Rand, in the upcoming Netflix show. And there's an article on Bleeding Cool about him training both physically and spiritually, reading a lot of Buddhist philosophy and getting up at some ridiculous hour in the morning to train like kung fu and jujitsu and all kinds of stuff. So, and then weight training in the afternoon. So it sounds like he's working really, really hard. And I'm very curious to see what he's going to look like. This might be the one that finally gets me to watch, because I think Iron Fist is an incredibly complex character. Not that well known, but if he's done right, I think it could be really, really, really good. And it sounds like the fact that he's training both physically and spiritually, I don't know, there's something about that that just sounds right. So this could be the one that gets me to finally tune in. I guess we'll see. Are you guys excited for the Iron Fist show, Jaden?
I don't know if I'm going to be able to get past who this guy's character was in Game of Thrones.
See, it's a good thing I don't watch TV, because I have no... was he kind of a doofus or something?
No.
All right. What about you, Manny? You excited for Iron Fist?
Yeah, way more than Luke Cage.
All right.
Did you see the teaser for Luke Cage? It's pretty funny.
No.
Actually, you know, I have not.
I haven't watched it.
It's only like 10 seconds or something.
I'll have to check it out in a few minutes.
All right. Full spoiler warnings are in effect. So if you have not seen the season finale of Arrow, it was
recently... No, it's not the season finale. It's just an episode. Last week's episode.
I thought it was a season finale. Oh, my mistake. Yeah. Well, anyway, so all season long, they've been showing these scenes of a grave. Somebody in the grave. Who's in the grave? Well, last week's episode, we found out who was in the grave. So if you haven't watched it, don't want to know, probably need to turn off the podcast now, because Jaden and Manny are going to talk about it. So what are you guys' thoughts?
I wasn't expecting it. I didn't think that they would actually kill off Black Canary. I didn't think that they would. I'm happy about it, though. Really am. I think that the show is probably going to be better now. I'm sad for the characters in the show. They're all pretty sad. I think they're doing a good job of being sad. But it's like, I think that the show, I think she's been hurting the show more than she's been helping it the past, since the beginning.
Yeah, I kind of found her to be a little bit of a pest. And I know that sounds kind of harsh, but just by process of elimination, throughout the whole month that we were being teased that someone was going to die, you know, the only other character I thought could really make that same impact would have been Diggle. And also based off of the process of eliminations of the photos of the sets that we had seen, and it had to be someone that the Flash knew because he comes to give his condolences. And, but yeah, you know, I thought I'd be a lot happier to see her go, but once it did happen, I did feel kind of sad, kind of because there is going to be a void into the character that she played, and I'm very curious to see, especially not necessarily in the next few, upcoming few episodes, but next season, where the show goes as to fill that gap a little bit, because you've lost Laurel to obviously death, and then you've also lost Sarah to the Legends of Tomorrow. So I'm guessing Canary's completely off the table. I wonder if they're going to bring anybody else in, or if they're just going to try to focus a little bit more on Arrow and maybe Speedy.
I'm thinking it's probably going to turn into like more of just a Oliver and Diggle thing again with what's the guy's name, Mr. Terrific, in the show?
Michael Holt is his name in the comics.
I think that's his name.
Yeah, I would think that probably would be the same. I mean, it's interesting that they killed her off, in as much as, you know, in the comics, Green Arrow, Black Canary is like a, you know, a classic team-up. I don't know that they ever got it right, ever got the same kind of feel. I mean, I don't watch the show, but from you know, what I've heard other fans say, I mean, they get married in the comics, and they certainly, their relationship never got close to that point in the show, right?
They were kind of around there in the first season. I just think that character was cast as she was just going to be a lawyer at the beginning of the show, because the show wasn't going to be a superhero show. I think it was going to be more of like a guy who puts on a superhero costume and goes out and does like detective stuff at night, but then it ended up turning into a superhero show. And then, like, I think that they wanted to turn into a Black Canary, and it wasn't very believable to me, at least.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting. Like, yeah, Speedy is a way they could go, for sure. Or they, you know, they could bring in another, has Shadow been, was she killed off in the show?
Yeah, she was.
Trying to think of who else. Yeah, other than Speedy, I can't really think of anybody they could bring in. So, I mean, that's just based on the comic. They could always, you know, do something else. There's plenty of, I mean, they bring in Zatanna, you know, or Vixen. I mean, it doesn't have to follow, clearly, you know, it doesn't follow exactly what the comics do, so.
Yeah.
All right, any other thoughts before we move on to the last television item?
Personally, I can't stand how, especially CW likes to do like a mid-season premiere, play like three episodes, go on hiatus for a week, play another episode, go on hiatus for another week, 2 weeks, and then give you like the last two episodes. It's really annoying.
Yeah, I know. I'm like expecting there to be an episode, and then I'm like, oh, there's no episode for 3 weeks randomly, even though we only just had 2 weeks in a row where we had an episode.
Yeah, it's really annoying.
Yeah, I think that's
kind of disrupts the flow.
I think that's just the reality of television in the DVR era. So, all right. Well, the last bit of news, and this was the finale, Walking Dead. Now, I don't watch Walking Dead. I watched the first season, didn't care for it that much, so I stopped watching it. But even I heard about this. So Negan was brought into the show, super bad, terrible guy from the comics, and all the main characters kind of lined up. And then the camera switches to point of view of the victim, and Negan basically beats him to death with a baseball bat. Was it wrapped in barbed wire or something?
Yeah, it's called Lucille, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, Lucille.
And then it ended. You don't know who it is. And there was much, much outrage. The internet cried out in horror.
This is exactly like summer. Game of Thrones last season.
Yeah, we'd have to go a whole summer without finding out who died. Now, I mean, even Maddie was complaining about it. I mean, I'm like, you know what? This is what shows used to do. This is what's known as a cliffhanger. And people would speculate for months and months and months. Immediately, what springs to my mind was when I was a kid, my mom watched the show Dallas, and Larry Hagman's character was named JR, and he was like this, you know, really famous character, villain guy in the show, and everybody, you know, he was very disliked by everyone, and, you know, not a likable character at all, and he got shot in the season finale in one episode, and that was the big thing, who shot JR, and I mean, there was speculation in magazines, and, you know, all over the TV. I mean, it was a huge thing back in the day, I just remember. So this isn't quite to that level, because we have, you know, media's and entertainment is kind of spread out a little more these days. There's a lot more choices. Whereas back then, everybody watched Dallas, and so it was kind of on everybody's mind. But same kind of thing. I mean, it's a cliffhanger. You know, this is what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to frustrate you and make you think, and most of all, have you tuning in for that next episode, you know, that season premiere, so they can, you know, sell their advertising. And I mean, it'll probably be one of the most watched episodes of Walking Dead, you know, actually watched, not DVR, but actually what people are gonna, you know, oh man, Walking Dead premieres tonight, I gotta make sure I'm at home in front of the TV watching it so I can find out as soon as possible who it was. So anyway, I'm sure you guys have some thoughts about it. Why don't you start, Manny?
You know, I went on that rant, and that was, I think, just based off of emotions, because I had just watched it. And I had the chance to watch it a couple more times. I know I showed my coworkers the clip, because, I mean, that was a really intense 15 minutes. And then my wife hadn't caught up to it. And then the next day or so, we also watched the end of that episode with her. And she freaked, because she really wanted to know who it was. But from my point of view, I really started thinking about it. And no, you're completely right. I think the producers, with so many people on the internet and on blogs and stuff, already speculating who it was, and they know who it is, and I'm sure it's this character. For them to do it that way, and just, that was the only way they were going to really cause a really big impact, because if they, for example, show the same character that dies in the comic book, and, you know, half of the internet's like, oh, I knew it, and now this is coming next, or whatever. So now with doing it that way, you left everybody hanging. It doesn't matter if you knew the story, if you didn't, you gotta wait. And you have the same feeling as the guy who's never picked up the comic book but has followed the series completely the way through. When it comes to that, it was brilliant. I mean, those few minutes were very, very intense. They were so well done, because it just kept you on your toes, because you knew it was coming. You knew it was coming, and then when it did, it was almost like you got hit with the bat, and kind of when it was all said and done, you're like, wait, what happened? But now you gotta wait till October.
Yeah, I think that. You know, if they had shown, like, so maybe it's the same scene, but then right at the end, they show the body laying on the ground, and then it cuts to black or whatever, and, you know, that's it. So you would know. I think, you know, it still would have been impactful. you still would have had people talking about it, would have been conversation. But that conversation and discussion about it might have lasted a week or two on, you know, over the summer. And everybody, oh, I can't believe they killed off so-and-so, blah, 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 it was my favorite character, or whatever. I wonder where is that going to go from here. But I don't think it would have had the same... That conversation wouldn't have lasted all the way till the season premiere. And now people are still going to be... you know, every time they release any... Like, anytime there's any Walking Dead news, you know, oh, they've started production on the next season. Oh, here's a trailer for the next season. Here's a little teaser for the next season. Anytime anything comes up, this whole entire summer until October comes, it's going to reignite that conversation. You're going to have people speculating all over again. Oh, look, we saw a teaser and there was this image in the teaser and it makes me think it's this person that died and blah, 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 you know? And I think, yeah, it's just a really smart way to keep people talking and keep people interested in the show. What are your thoughts, Jaden?
Well, I don't really see, like, you guys see it a lot differently than I do personally. I don't really like when they do these kinds of cliffhangers on shows. Like, I personally think it's kind of cheap because, like, it reminds me a lot of the Game of Thrones season finale, last finale. It kind of, like, used Jon Snow, well, spoilers if you haven't seen Game of Thrones, it used Jon Snow's death, like, willy-nilly to me, kind of, like, because they acted like he really was dead. He got stabbed, like, 30 times or something crazy. But now there's all these commercials and all this rumbling around that he's not dead and he's just still going to be in the show. And I feel like with this, like, I love cliffhangers. Like, the last season of House of Cards has a really good cliffhanger, I think. But I feel, because I feel like the entire arc of the story was really finished, but I felt like at the end of the season of Walking Dead, kind of like right before the end of an arc, or maybe at the beginning of an arc, it didn't really feel like anything that was really to end the season to me personally.
No, yeah, I kind of see where you're going with that, because that's maybe something you would have wanted to see, like, as a mid-season finale instead of a season finale.
Yeah, maybe. I didn't mind. I liked seeing that entire scene because I haven't really read the comic, but I have seen that, those few couple pages with, Negan and and Lucille and, when he kills Glenn in the comics. So I've seen those few pages a few times. And I thought it did it justice. I really did like the guy who plays Negan and everything. I just didn't really like the way that they handled it personally.
So you kind of looked at it, it seemed like a stunt to you, not really,
yeah,
you know, not necessarily story driven or, you know, make sense for, you know, where the story's headed or whatever. It just, okay, we've made the number of episodes we're gonna make this for the season, we need to end it, let's end it on this stunt and just leave everybody hanging. That's kind of how you felt
a little bit. Yeah. I don't think it's really the writers necessarily doing it. I think it's more just them saying this is a pretty good part of the story to leave the audience hanging. But I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't really like it that much.
I mean, again, you're from a different generation, because that used to be every single TV show, every network TV show that would come on, they would all strive to have these, you know, huge cliffhangers that would leave everybody hanging. Were they stunts? Yeah, they were in a way, because they wanted, you know, to make sure that you were going to come back, you know, to find out what was going to happen. You wouldn't forget over the summer that, you know, you were invested in this show and, you know, you turn back in and they could hook you again. So, I mean, in a way they are stunts in a time-honored TV tradition. I know a lot of shows have gotten away from that now. And especially, I mean, TV's just different now. You know, we were just talking about how, I mean, it used to be, a season was 23, 24 episodes, and they ran week after week after week. Maybe you got a break around Christmas time, you know, networks would show Christmas specials or whatever, and they'd pick back up. And yeah, now it's like show a couple of new episodes and show reruns and whatever. I mean, it's just not the same. Video on demand and streaming and all that. It's just, the model is not the same. So, you don't really see these level of cliffhangers anymore like there used to be. And shows are rarely 23, 24, 22 episodes long anymore for a season. In fact, you know, we were just talking the other day about Sherlock coming back for season 4. Jaden's been waiting for, like, what, 3 years? And it's only going to be 4 episodes.
They're going to be an hour and a half each, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, granted, they're 90 minutes, but, you know, I'm sure you would...
It's just like, it's, if it's 4 episodes, it's basically like watching 4 movies.
Yeah, so...
It is. But that's British TV. British TV is definitely different. I mean, there are still a lot of network shows. I just think the network shows aren't really the quality that people are really watching these days, especially because of streaming. And I think that people are putting more, studios are just putting more money into each episode and making, like, better, each episode's better. Like, Game of Thrones is a perfect example. It has, like, 10 to 14 episodes or something like that. But they have a lot more of an impact, and each one has a lot more money to them. Instead of, like, the old-fashioned way of, like, put it out 24 episodes so we can get all of the commercial money, and then we can put them on reruns on TV.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's just different. I mean, look at Netflix started off as a company that would mail you DVDs in the mail. And now they're producing their own programming, you know? Some of it very, very good, like House of Cards, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, so... You know, and their model is completely different. Things are still broken down in episodes, but the entire season gets released in the same day, you know, and people binge watch. So, again, it's just, you know, just a different model. Just, that's, the entertainment industry is very different now than it used to be. So, and I don't see it changing anytime soon, as far as going back to the way it used to be. Clearly, video on demand and watching something when you want to watch it, when you're capable of watching it, when you have the free time, where you have the free time on your phone, on your tablet, what have you. You know, clearly it's that flexibility is something that people want. People have spoken, so.
You just started a war!
Let's talk a little movie news. So, the Doctor Strange trailer came out the other day. Why don't you go first, Manny? What were your thoughts on it?
My only experience with Doctor Strange would be through watching the animated film that was released on Netflix. So I really don't know much about the character. And when it comes to Benedict Cumberbatch, that's how you pronounce his last name?
Yep.
I really liked him in his last movie, what's that movie called? With the where he's trying to figure out the code for... the Nazi code.
I'm trying to think of it. I can't. It's on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. Where he's plays the gay guy.
Yeah. I really liked him in that, but I mean, in the trailer. So based on all, you know, what I know from the actor and what I know about the character, I don't know. I'm gonna have to really wait and see, and just really watch the movie and judge it on that as a movie itself, not necessarily on the character, because I don't really know him.
The Imitation Game is the movie.
Yeah.
Damn it. I did have it right. Okay.
Yeah. I've never been a big Doctor Strange fan. I have a pretty extensive run of his comic that came out in the 80s. I haven't read any of the earlier stuff, the more classic Steve Ditko stuff or the... I think it was Steve Englehart did a run in the late 70s. I haven't read any of that either. That being said, the movie itself, just based on what I've seen from the trailer, it looks gorgeous. Like he looks like what I would imagine Doctor Strange would look like. And it looks, in tone, it seems very different from the other Marvel movies. It has me kind of intrigued. I don't know if I read this somewhere or if it just popped into my head on my own, but it reminded me of Inception, like seemed very Inception-ish.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard people talk about it as the Matrix mixed with Inception. That's what it reminded them of.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm going to keep an open mind. I'm not, you know, it's not one of those movies I'm going to have to go out and see right away, but it seems interesting, and, you know, Marvel has a pretty good track record, so... you know, I guess it's a wait and see thing for me. What about you, Jaden? I know you're a big Benedict Cumberbatch fan. What'd you think?
Yeah, like when I heard that Benedict Cumberbatch was going to be Doctor Strange, I was like, I'm going to have to see that movie pretty much immediately. I mean, I don't really know the character that much, but I mean, just from what I like, just from looks alone, I know that Benedict Cumberbatch would be a great pick, and I love him as an actor. And then I saw this trailer, and then it's like, it's much different, like you said, it's much different than the Marvel movies that they've been putting out, but they do have an amazing track record. I mean, I think that the worst, my least favorite thing that they've done is the first Captain America movie, and that was actually a long time ago, too. So, I mean, I can't wait to see this. I'm probably going to see this, I'm most definitely going to see this the first weekend it's out.
All right. Well, the other movie that got a new trailer released is probably a property that the three of us are much more familiar with, and that's Suicide Squad. I really felt like this trailer, Joker's actually going to be the baddie. He's not. Did we know that ahead of time? I'm not sure we did.
No, I don't think so.
For me, it didn't really make me want to see the movie any more or less than I already kind of do. I know there has some talk recently of doing some reshoots, and people were piling on DC once again, saying, oh, they're trying to make the movie more, trying to inject more humor into the movie because of the success of Deadpool. And, you know, we know with the extensive reshoots on Fantastic Four how terrible that turned out. And some of the actors came out from Suicide Squad came out and said, no, we're actually reshooting some more action scenes to add into the scenes that are already in the movie, just to give it more action, because the director, David Ayers, wanted more action. So, you know, like I said, this trailer didn't make me want to see it any more or less than I already did. This is probably when I'll see the opening weekend. That last trailer that got released with Bohemian Rhapsody soundtrack to it, just for some reason, it really resonated with me. It really made me want to see this movie. Because before I was kind of like, I'll see it when I see it kind of thing. But man, that trailer was done exceptionally well. This one is probably not as good on its own. But yeah, I'm still excited for it. What did you think, Jaden?
I mean, it's mostly what we've seen so far. I felt like it was kind of a mix of the last two trailers. And, I mean, I really want to see this movie. I think it's going to be good. I don't really think, like, because if the Joker is the big bad, I just feel like he'll probably have a decent amount of screen time, but I feel like the movie's going to mostly focus on the team.
Yeah, well, we also...
the squad.
We also caught some glimpses of Batman, which we hadn't seen before. So that was interesting.
Yeah, it looks kind of weird.
Manny, your thoughts?
This trailer actually made me feel a little bit more comfortable with the movie, because when talking with people about Suicide Squad, it's really about, to me, Task Force X, Suicide Squad is about Amanda Waller and her control of the team. So the fact that in this trailer they focused a little bit on the beginning on her and implanting the bombs in their necks kind of like made me feel a lot better. Like, oh, all right. So they are taking the classic approach to it, because, you know, with some of the other characters, even the way they are, they've taken several liberties, and I was really uncomfortable with maybe that they weren't going to put bombs in their necks or something crazy.
But Suicide Squad without bombs, without the threat of being blown up if they try to escape.
I know, exactly. So I was really worried that maybe they would try to do something insane like that, but the fact that they put the bombs in their necks made me feel a lot better.
In the
and then...
Go ahead. I was just going to say, when they relaunched Suicide Squad, this iteration of it in the mid-80s, spinning out of the Legends miniseries, because previously the Suicide Squad from the Silver Age, the Task Force X from the Silver Age, was, they weren't superpowered people. They were like army military personnel that were, I think all of them, I'm not 100% sure, but they either were like mentally unstable, or they literally were dying of diseases or some kind of, you know, whatever. Like they would go on these missions, and their nickname was the Suicide Squad because they basically had nothing to lose because they were all dying anyway, and they would go on these impossible missions. And then when DC rebooted it in the mid-80s, spinning out of Legends, like I said, that was when they got this idea to use supervillains. And they didn't have bombs in their necks, but they had like these bracelets that would blow off their arms. And those bracelets were actually used on more than one occasion. The villain lost his arm because he wasn't following orders. So, but yeah, this more recent one, they have gone with the bombs in their necks, like they're doing in this movie, apparently.
That's my favorite part, I think, of the Suicide Squad, is while reading through the books, is that, you know, there's those characters that aren't going to die, but those other ones, you know, their heads are going to get blown off at any second, and it's happened more than once through the issues that I've read, and I don't know why I like that. I like the unpredictability of it, and I think that's the kind of movie we're going to get, kind of like a little bit rougher version of, like, Guardians, I guess. So, and David Ayer, with all the films he's put together in the past, I have no doubt that this is going to be good. And the only still kind of sketchy part that it doesn't bother me as much anymore is Will Smith as Deadshot. But, it can't be a perfect movie, I guess.
Yeah, we did see a little bit more of Will Smith in this latest trailer, and yeah, it started to... I was watching it, and I said, oh yeah, look, there's Will Smith. And I didn't think, oh, there's Deadshot, you know. It didn't feel that in the previous trailer, but yeah, this one I just felt like... I mean, I understand it's Will Smith, and, you know, he's got that star, you know, factor, and he's recognizable, but he needs to have the helmet on. I mean, the helmet, they even did a good job making a cool-looking helmet. And, you know, because it's Will Smith, probably in his contract, my face can only be covered a certain amount of minutes in the movie. But, I mean, he's Deadshot. he's Deadshot. He needs to have the helmet on. And that's it. That's it. Deadshot's one of my favorite characters. And he needs to have the helmet on. And that's just the way I feel about it. So,
you know that... Not Hot Topic. Spencer's released a line of Forever Evil apparel, and I got some Deadshot socks for the gym.
Nice.
They actually, you know the cover from Forever Evil?
Yeah.
Not Forever Evil, sorry, for the Villains Month. Well, both socks make up the cover.
Yeah, that's the cover I have that Dan Didio gave me that...
Yeah, that exact one. Yeah. That's on my socks.
That's awesome. All right, next bit of news. The Civil War, Captain America Civil War red carpet premiere was held, I believe it was Monday night in Hollywood? No,
Friday. Wasn't it yesterday?
Was it yesterday?
I think so.
Okay, so yesterday. Tuesday night. Yeah, friend of the show, Todd Knock, got to attend, so that was cool. But all the early reviews for Civil War have been extremely positive. So I guess no big surprise here, being that a lot of people say that Captain America 2, the Winter Soldier,
Coen Brothers,
yeah, is the best of the... Wait, the Coen? No, isn't it the Russo Brothers?
Yeah, it's the Russo Brothers, not the Coen Brothers. Yeah, Russo.
Yeah. Anyway, a lot of people say that that's the best Marvel movie, and, you know, the same two gentlemen helmed this movie, so not a surprise.
They're going to do the Avengers final, whatever it's called, movie with Thanos.
Infinity War or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, Infinity War.
I mean, it's cool to hear, but at the same time, I don't know, maybe just because I'm such a DC fan, I hate the fact that anything that's not done well in this movie gets overlooked, you know, and but people pile on, you know, when it's DC.
I don't think so. Maybe. I don't think so at all. I think that they really hated on Age of Ultron a lot. I think a lot of criticism went to that movie.
I didn't feel like it was a lot of criticism for that movie when it, like, before it came out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't hear...
No, I didn't hear completely much, get you, yeah.
I didn't hear much about it one way or the other before it came out. And then when it first came out, and it, you know, did well, but not as well as they expected. And then, like, over time, then you started to hear more negative things where, you know, right away before, you know, Batman vs. Superman even came out, all you heard was, you know, negative, negative, negative. I mean, the majority of
them. I mean, just, but if you compare the movies, I think that one of them is much worse than the other. I mean, we might love the characters more, but, yeah. I mean, one of the movies has some major flaws, and yeah. The other movie has less.
Yes, and I agree. I mean, we talked ad nauseum about all the problems with Batman vs. Superman, so... But I guess, you know, I'm not complaining that it's that this is the way it is, because Marvel clearly is making better movies at this point. It just saddens me that Marvel movies are so much better than DC. I want good Marvel movies. I want good DC movies. You know, but I just feel like
Marvel movies just follow the same pattern.
Well, I also think that because Marvel has made some really, really good movies, that people tend to, you know, look at their movies with rose-colored glasses, and, you know, they do get a pass on some of the things that maybe aren't perfect. And again, it's based on track record, and maybe, you know, deservedly so. I don't know.
Well, the difference is, like, Warner Brothers likes to give their directors fully a ton of just leeway. They let them do whatever they want, basically, vis-a-vis, like, just look at Batman v Superman. And then you look at Marvel movies where they have all of this oversight and all of these different people looking at it. You're not going to have all these big holes. You're just going to have a lot less. They're not going to take as big of risks, but while not taking as big of risks, the stuff is a lot more polished, and like 15 people are editing a script at a time or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
They just keep looking over it.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the Marvel Cinematic Universe has Kevin Feige, and he's kind of overseeing it all. And, you know, maybe if Geoff Johns had the same level of control and power that Kevin Feige did, or does, then, you know, we'd get better DC movies. I don't know.
I think that with a Ben Affleck-directed Batman, I think that all will be quite a bit better, especially since he wrote the script as well.
All right, well, before we talk about that, the next Spider-Man film is going to be subtitled Homecoming. Supposedly, it's not going to focus on his origin too much. So I don't know. I, with a name like Homecoming, you would think that maybe it would.
Yeah, let's not kill Uncle Ben again, please.
Yeah. So I guess
I'm sure we'll get a montage or something like in Batman v Superman.
Yeah. So take from that what you will. The next bit of news Jaden already mentioned. So the Ben Affleck solo Batman film has been confirmed. He wrote the script. It's been confirmed he's going to be directing it. This should be good. I expect this to be good. I am looking forward to this. I only wish it was happening sooner. Like, I wish the Batman solo film was coming out before the Justice League film, because,
yeah.
I mean, if it were to, you know, do extremely well and be extremely well received by both critics and audiences, then maybe we could get Ben Affleck to do the Justice League rather than Zack Snyder, and that might be all for the good. So, what are your thoughts, Jaden?
Well, we heard a lot about Ben Affleck making different edits to the script of Batman v Superman, and I think that might be partially why his characters was probably, or his Batman in that movie was really strong, in my opinion. So, I mean, I couldn't be more excited about this. I'm pretty sure Geoff Johns is like a producer, a co-director or something on this too, right?
I did not hear that. There were some rumors.
I heard that sometime.
Well, when it was rumored that Ben Affleck was writing the script, I think it was rumored that he was co-writing the script with Geoff Johns, but...
Oh, okay.
I haven't, like, when I saw this announcement, like, if you go to the link in the show notes, I don't think it mentions anything about Geoff Johns, but, I mean, that would not surprise me if Geoff Johns worked on it too, or at least gave input, but I don't know for sure. Obviously, we're going to get more information about this, you know, as he gets closer. I mean, it's still a ways away. I mean,
Kevin Smith read the script, and take this as you will. He says that it's going to win an Oscar.
I don't know about that. I don't know that the old fuddy-duddies at the Film Academy go in too much for the superhero movies. I mean, that would be really cool if it did.
They really liked The Dark Knight.
Yeah, they gave Heath Ledger an Oscar.
Yeah, but that was, you know, for acting. I don't know. I mean, story, I don't know.
Oh, it was the Joker.
Manny, what are your thoughts on Ben Affleck, Batman?
Ben Affleck as a director, even before he was cast as Batman, some of his movies are fantastic. The Town is one of my favorite movies, and he directed and starred in that movie. That was so good. And then also Argo, the one he won an Academy Award for. Some people find it, you know, it's kind of almost, it's a not an action flick, so it's kind of boring to some people. But man, I find that film to be so intense, so well done. And again, directed and starred in Ben Affleck. So when I heard that in fact it was true that he is writing and starring in a Batman film himself, I don't know why I immediately went to kind of thinking of what villains he personally would have in his film. And I can't help but wonder if he would take the task of doing a film kind of like Under the Red Hood. Because I definitely see him using a character like Black Mask in his film. More of a thug-oriented film with that kind of presence. But, you know, having something like a backstory with the suit that he had, that he did, they took a moment to look at in Batman v Superman. So, like you guys, I just wish this movie was coming out a lot sooner than it is. I mean, they have two open slots that it's gonna be one of those two slots. It's just a matter of which one. And then, I don't know if you guys saw this, but on Newsarama, they already did their, who they want cast in the film.
Did not see that.
They have, it was just posted a little while ago. They have John Goodman as Harvey Bullock. they have, I haven't really heard of him too much. He was also in Argo. Kyle Chandler as Two-Face. I guess he also played the coach on Friday Night Lights. Let me see something else that was good. I've never heard of this guy, Casey Affleck, as the Riddler.
That's his brother.
That's his brother?
Yeah.
Well then. And then, oh, this one was the one that kind of made me chuckle. Paul Giamatti as the Penguin. Yeah. And then they have Angelina Jolie as Catwoman. Zac Efron as Dick Grayson.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I gotta say.
And then Emma Stone as Barbara Gordon.
No.
That sounds like what fans would pick as their people.
This one was a crazy one. And I was like, wow, all right, I guess. They have Denzel Washington as Ra's al Ghul.
I like that a lot, actually. I like that. I like that one. So, those are some interesting choices. I probably don't agree with most of them, but okay. Let me just say, I don't care who the villain is, as long as it's not the Joker. Enough with the Joker already.
No, I agree with you.
No, I think it's going to be the Joker. I think it's going to be Jared Leto.
Oh, God, I hope not.
I think it needs to be kind of like, if they're going to do that, it has to be kind of like where he's not necessarily the main. Well, actually, I guess in Under the... Because Under the Red Hood was done so well, the animated film. If he gets a chance to do something like that where... I guess there's a... Well, I guess in most Batman movies, there's been two antagonists, at least.
You know who I think would be a really great villain? And it's not even really just one villain. I think it would be
Mr. Freeze?
No. It would be awesome to have the Ben Affleck Batman take on the Court of Owls. I think that... I mean, you could have, you know, the Talons or whatever, maybe one or two, you know, like super Talons, and those could be like the, you know, mate for the fight scenes or whatever. But to have this shadowy organization, you know, not necessarily, you know, one guy, but like a committee of people, the Court of Owls. I mean, I think that would be really cool.
I think that would be great, but I think Warner Brothers wouldn't see that as too much of a selling point for the film.
I think it's pretty much, if I had to guess, I'm thinking Manny's right about the Under the Red Hood because of that one like image you saw in Batman v Superman. I think, I just hope that they cast Jason Todd well.
What image?
You know, well, I mean, just in the movie when they have, when he says, ha ha ha, the joke's on you or whatever it is on the suit.
Yeah.
I'm almost thinking that he wrote in that pause himself, like, hey, we're thinking of a future film. Maybe. I don't know.
I'm just tired of the Joker at this point. So, all right, last bit of movie news. The Star Wars Rogue One trailer was released. I did not watch it. I know some people were upset that, I guess, the main character is a female again. Well, and they're like, what, is Star Wars going all female with Rey being the, you know, kind of the main hero of Force Awakens, and now we have another female protagonist in this movie. As long as the movie's good, I don't really care, male, female, whatever. But like I said, I haven't watched the trailer yet. Just, I don't know, don't really have much incentive to watch it, I guess. I mean, it took me a long time before I even watched Force Awakens. Just, I don't know. For some reason, I like to go into Star Wars movies without, like, knowing too much. So, I'm sure both of you guys watched it, though, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, what are your thoughts, Jaden?
Yeah.
I thought it was, it looks awesome. I mean, it doesn't really show much. But from what it did show, it looks great. I think that this trailer kind of shows a lot of Felicity Jones' character, but I know it's going to be like a team of people that are going out to get the Death Star plans, so I think it's going to be more of like a team movie with her leading it. But, I mean, it's just, it's the director who did the most recent Godzilla movie, which was, it was alright, but I think in that movie he did a really good job of showing scale. And in this trailer you can kind of see it with, like, especially the AT-ATs and the, in this trailer you see the Death Star with its antenna out, or the satellite out, which is really cool, and it just kind of looks way more massive than they usually look.
What did you think, Manny?
I didn't have a lot of it took me a while to even watch the trailer. It took like two or three people mentioning it to me before I said, all right, fine, I'll watch the trailer, because I don't know, just at first it didn't really resonate with me too much. But watching the trailer, I thought it was really cool. One of my favorite Imperial, I guess, ships, you can call it. It's not really a ship. The AT-AT is one of my favorite things from, like, The Empire Strikes Back. So I thought that was really cool. And then, I mean, if anyone really has a problem with another female lead, so you didn't like Rey, is that what I'm hearing? Because she was amazing. Daisy Ridley as Rey was awesome. Let's just leave it at that. And with seeing the trailer, yeah, it looks pretty good. And like every other Star Wars fan. I mean, I'm not the biggest Star Wars fan, but I like it quite a bit. I purchased the Force Awakens, and I think I've already watched it 3 or 4 times. So, I'll definitely be checking this out. And I really hope that it's like Jaden says, like more like a team heist movie. That sounds really interesting.
Well,
yeah, I think it's going to be, I love Star Wars. I love how they're treating it. It seems like they're giving it, a lot of like time, and they're putting in their work. It's, I mean, just from this trailer, just it looks so polished.
Yeah, it's the Star Wars we all deserve and been waiting for a long time. I'm just kind of, my only thing is I'm just really sad that J.J. Abrams isn't directing the next movie.
Yeah, apparently he is too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this Comic Talk episode of the Comic Source Podcast. We want to thank everyone for joining us. Once again, if you want to reach out to us, go to our website, thecomicsourceblog.com. You can contact us through the Contact Us link. If you want to email us directly, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com. If you want to know where we're going to be, at shows, conventions, eavesdrop on our conversations with creators, let us know books we should be reading, something you want us to review, want to know when new episodes are posted, just follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. I'm always post daily on Twitter, different items, original art that I receive, original art that Manny gets, all kinds of stuff. Follow us on Twitter. That's probably the easiest way to know what's going on with the Comic Source crew. Also, you can do a search on Facebook for the Comic Source. Give us a like there, or on Instagram. And if you're curious and want to listen to some of our previous episodes, just go to thecomicsourceblog.com. All past episodes of our podcast are on there. You know, I think just about every single one of the Rebirth interviews I did had some bit of information that you're not really going to find anywhere else, just based on some of the questions I was able to ask and kind of having relationships with a lot of the creators at DC. So I think those are all very worthwhile listens. So go ahead and take a listen to that, particularly the Scott Snyder and Scott Lobdell interviews, I feel are very well done. So we want to thank everyone for listening. Just a quick reminder, we're going to be doing a spotlight episode on Irredeemable, the series from Boom by Mark Waid and Peter Krause. That's going to be coming up in probably about 3 weeks. So I believe the series was 37 issues long with one special. So 38 issues. If you're going to follow along with us, you probably want to get cracking on reading those so you can see if you agree with what we have to say about it. So thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.
Good night.